Welcome to the Duck Pod. I'm Ryan Thorburn, joined by Austin Meek. Austin, it is fall camp eve in the college football world. The Oregon Ducks begin practice on Friday. The Mario Cristobal era is officially underway. I guess technically it's already underway with the Las Vegas Bowl and all that stuff, but for real, his first full season is here we go. Are you looking forward to covering this team?
I am looking forward to covering this team. I don't know if I'd say I'm looking forward to covering fall camp. fall camp is a grind, and not just for the players. As you know, as the primary beat writer, you're there pretty much every day. I get to just skate in occasionally, but it is a grind, and it tends to feel like a long buildup for the season, partly because the buildup starts in July with media day. But the the first day of fall camp is it's kind of symbolic, and you sort of start to now have some substance to put with all the stuff we've been talking about and speculating about, and all the intrigue that flies around in the summer. Now we start to put some things on paper and actually see how some of these things shake out.
My all-time favorite quote, or one of them from covering this sport, was from Clinton Portis, a guy that Mario knows pretty well. When he was a young player with the Denver Broncos, it was, "Camp do suck, it really do." We hung that up in the media room at the Broncos facility because it was so good, and it does. I mean, camp has changed. It doesn't suck as much, but it's still hot in most places, not as much in Eugene as Alabama or places like that, but, you know, it's a grind. These guys have 3 weeks of hardcore preparation to get ready for 12 weeks of football, and there's a lot of physical strain, mental strain, but this is what these guys love. It's what they signed up for, and it's what I think our readers are primarily interested in, so I'm kind of looking forward to telling as many of these stories as we can squeeze in with the media limitations and all that stuff, but it's definitely a fun team to be around. Just the energy that Mario brings, I kind of scoff at some of the Twitter stuff with the strength department, but at the same time, it is real. There is a vibe out there that that I think started with Willie Taggart, but you can feel that these coaches and players are pretty excited about what's going to happen this year and in the future with Oregon.
It's going to be Camp Mario. That's what I'm calling it. And I'm curious to see if it's noticeably different than it's been in the past, if there's a different vibe or a different feel around camp with Mario Cristobal in charge. You know, coaches, I think, always try to do some different things to break up the monotony of it. So I'll be curious to see what Mario Cristobal brings to it from that aspect, and we'll get a look at it fairly early because this year, typically in the past, Oregon has had its fan day towards the end of camp. This year, it's right at the beginning, the second day of camp. It's going to be open to the fans, and I'll be curious what all we see. Do they still have the like the acclimation period where you can't be in full pads for a couple days? So I don't know. I don't know how much full contact 11-on-11 is going to be happening the second day of camp. But at least it'll be a little bit of a window into how Mario Cristobal is going to run the show, and maybe be able to get a preliminary idea of where guys are at on the depth chart and who's running with the first team and second team, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they won't be in full pads or anything like that because it's only the second practice. But, you know, they can't waste any practices. So I think fans are going to get a good look at, the original pecking order going into the season. Now they're going to be welcoming a lot of freshmen who are going to factor in, and we can talk about the redshirt rule and what Mario thinks about that. But, Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of familiar faces with the first team and some very talented guys, you know, on the third and fourth teams that just are only in their second practice, and that's why they are where they are in the pecking order. So, yeah, fan day is on Saturday for season ticket holders. Friday is the first practice, and then media day is on Sunday. So, no rest for the weary, no days off for the beat writers.
Well, I have in my hot little hands here the updated roster that's got a lot of the freshmen on it. Just looking up and down this list, Mario said today in his press conference that there are some newcomers on this team that are going to be very important. Who do you think are a couple freshmen on this list? Maybe a couple guys, they don't have to be freshmen even. There's some graduate transfers that are on this list too. But who are some of the newcomers that you think we ought to keep an eye on in camp that could end up playing some pretty significant roles?
Well, last time I checked, Oregon has a pretty good starting quarterback. So
I've heard of that guy.
I think they're going to want to throw the ball. They have their starting receivers back, you know, Brendan Schooler, Johnny Johnson, Dylan Mitchell, they really like them. But there's not a lot of depth there. Mario announced today, Thursday, at his news conference that Jalen Hall, a top 100 recruit at wide receiver, who I believe was in town for one day for one spring practice and went home, he's not going to be on the roster to start camp. He's dealing with personal issues. So I think Tabari Hines from Wake Forest, a graduate transfer who was, you know, pretty productive in the ACC, is a guy that you figure is going to be one of the top receivers on the team. So there's one for you, Tabari Hines, graduate transfer, Wake Forest. He has minor knee surgery recently and will be limited at the start of camp, but Mario said, you know, by game one he'll be ready to play, by game three he'll really be full go. So at some point during Pac-12 season, Tabari Hines is going to have to make some nice plays for the Ducks to win a game maybe.
Yeah. Mario also mentioned today Kano Dillon, the tight end grad transfer from South Florida, Willie Taggart's old school. 6'5", he's listed at 256 on this roster, although I think Mario said he was like 270-something. But, you know, a guy to keep an eye on, potentially at tight end. Dallas Wormack, the Alabama transfer on the offensive line. You know, that offensive line looks like it's pretty set. You know, they have a lot of big young offensive linemen that are joining the team, but it seems like those guys are probably going to be taking a year or two to apprentice under the group they've got coming back. But does that offensive line look to you like one of the more established positions on the team?
One of the more experienced positions, one of the best positions, and certainly one of the deepest positions. When you talk about essentially five guys with significant starting experience are all back. Now, obviously, they lose Tyrell Crosby, who was a terrific college football player, a really good left tackle. You mentioned Dallas Wormack. I'm just curious where he fits in with that experienced group. And, you know, as an Alabama guy, obviously he's looking for more playing time at Oregon than he was getting at Alabama. Where does he fit in? Penei Sewell, you know, their top-rated recruit, is a big offensive lineman from Utah. Will he maybe compete for a starting spot at guard opposite, you know, who am I thinking of?
Well, we got Throckmorton's back. Aiello is back.
Lemieux.
Shane Lemieux. Those guys all have played quite a bit.
So the guard spot opposite Lemieux, I see, you know, Sewell maybe competing there for, you know, possible starting position. So really a deep group. They've redshirted a lot of guys from last year. And as you mentioned, the true freshmen that are in here are definitely big enough to play right now.
382, 375, 360, 375. I mean, you don't see those numbers for freshman offensive linemen very often.
Yeah, Rob Mullins might have to adjust the budget for the cafeteria this year, I'm guessing.
Or buy some new scales.
Defensive line is an issue in terms of the depth. I mean, they love the starters, Jordan Scott, Jalen Jelks. You know, I think Jim Levitt's got some really nice pieces, but where's the depth going to come from on the defensive line? I think that'll be an interesting storyline during fall camp. DJ Johnson, defensive ends or outside linebacker possibly from Miami transfer. He was hoping to get cleared by the NCAA and not have to sit out because he's moved from Miami closer to home in California for family reasons. So he was not cleared. He'll have to sit out. So there's definitely an opportunity for some, maybe even some true freshmen like we saw last year to get in that rotation. But I mean, I really like their starting front seven. It's just a matter of, you know, who are the backups?
Yeah, I'm looking at this right now. Austin Fialu had a nice freshman season. I think you'd expect him to take a step forward.
His brother is a freshman here now.
Yeah, Andrew.
Same mold.
Yeah. Gary Baker is a guy who I don't recall him making a big impression in any games that I've watched, but he's a name that we've heard from time to time. Maybe, you know, maybe he's somebody who's poised to have a breakout year. Gus Cumberlander. So they've got some guys that have been around, but just kind of looking for some guys to emerge maybe as backups. And that's probably true. Would you say in the secondary too? You know, the secondary they've got. Guy like Ugo Amadi coming back, who's played a lot of ball. Thomas Graham as a cornerback was really good as a freshman. But maybe once you get past the top two or three or four, there's not a lot of established depth there.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting for Brady Breeze to kind of emerge for this will be, what is he, a redshirt sophomore? I think his freshman year he was doing really well in camp, ended up getting hurt, and his roommate Brendan Schooler ends up starting as a true freshman. Last year kind of nicked up coming out of camp and didn't really, you know, have the breakout season. But during spring practice, I mean, almost every practice he was intercepting a pass, even Justin Herbert passes. So Brady Breeze, we love how he talks the talk. He's a tremendous quote. Hopefully he can walk the walk and be a big-time player for Oregon.
He got his appendix out, so he'll be about 2 pounds lighter, a little faster maybe. Well, I guess running back, Tony Brooks-James, everybody's expecting him to be kind of the featured running back. He's bulked up a little bit. I saw him at the Saturday Night Live camp last week. He was out there working with the high school players and yeah, he looks like he's bulked up a little bit. He's filling the sleeves, as they say. But I don't think anybody's expecting that he's going to be like Royce Freeman level, you know, workhorse type running back necessarily. Who do we think is next in line when Tony Brooks-James is not in the game to get the carries?
Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what people around it think. And Justin Herbert mentioned that he believes it's going to be C.J. Verdell. He mentioned that he has a lot of confidence in Tony Brooks-James and C.J. Verdell and that he thinks they can carry the load. That's from Pac-12 Media Day last week. They have a number of other guys competing there, a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen. Darian Felix is interesting because, you know, he got some carries last year for Willie. He's a Florida guy and seems like a talented guy. I would count him in the mix if he's healthy. He certainly looks the part.
Taj Griffin is another guy who was a big name recruit when he signed here, a Mark Helfrich recruit, has had injuries during his career, has never really lived up to the potential that was put on him just because of where he was at in the recruiting rankings. He's a senior now. I'll be really interested to see, is there a breakout year for him? Is that, you know, does he still have that potential? He's played in some different places. He's played running back. He's played in the slot. Oregon's going to need somebody in the slot. You know, Charles Nelson is gone. Did they plug him in there? He's a versatile guy. They can use him in some different places. But it'll be interesting to see, you know, does he, as a senior, have a leg up on some of these younger guys, like you mentioned, Verdell, a couple redshirt freshmen. You know, does he get passed up by some of those young guys, or does his experience give him the leg up to be in there after Tony Brooks-James getting some of those carries.
Yeah, how nice is it to have a forgotten man as talented as Taj Griffin? Now, they list him as a running back. The Portland scrimmage during the spring, he looked really good, you know, had some really physical runs for a guy that size, which is kind of what Mario's looking for. But I kind of see him as a Charles Nelson type. So, you know, Charles is a guy they need to replace, as you mentioned, in the slot. So I'm interested to see, maybe we'll find out Friday and Saturday, where is Taj lining up? Is it competing to be Tony Brooks-James' backup, or do they have some packages where, you know, he's more of a Charles Nelson slot guy? So he can do both. I mean, you don't have to choose, but
yeah,
I think he'll have an impact one way or the other.
Yeah, well, they have some options, and the next few weeks are all about just putting the pieces together, figuring out who can do what, who fits where, putting some different packages together. It'll be interesting to see how all that develops. We'll have plenty of coverage ongoing every day out of fall camp, which gets going tomorrow on Friday. So thanks for checking out the podcast. Check out the website for all the latest coverage, and we'll be back next week to talk about it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Duck Pod. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts.